I'm so glad that you're here. This is Good Friday. This is a massive day, and we remember what was done for us. And I'm so glad that you're here. I want to thank those that have come from a distance, and most of us are a part of Seeds or a part of XS. But I do want to acknowledge that there's people that have come from other churches, other youth ministries, and some people have traveled quite a distance. And it's an absolute privilege to have you here with us. We're about to hear from Mitch. He's going to share his story. He's going to share a testimony with us. And it's going to be good. It's going to be really, really good. I first heard about Mitch almost a year ago. Some of you remember we had Live Life Loud last year, and we had Anna West as well as Lewis. Where's Lewis? I think Lewis has come from the furthest away, from Darwin. It's awesome. It's great to have you with us. I was hanging out with Anna and Lewis before Live Life Loud, and that was the night when Lachie Hillier had his knee totally restored after a year or more of not being able to play sport. Awesome. Awesome stuff, and we give God all the glory for that. In that day, I heard about different stuff that was going on up in Darwin, and I heard about this crazy guy called Mitch. This crazy guy who just believed in Jesus. That's why it's so good to have two microphones. Come on. And he would go up to people in a wheelchair and just say, "Can I pray for you?" This guy that just had faith that the same things that Jesus saw happen when he walked the earth 2,000 years ago could happen today. And I went, I want to meet this guy. And I only got to meet him for the first time at the start of this year, but I've been able to chat with him, to listen to some of his messages, and the thing that I've seen in him as well as heard from him is humility and confidence. He has a confidence in God. As I mentioned this morning, this thing of testimony is not about let's celebrate the person that's at the front with the microphone in their hand and look how amazing they are. He's amazing, by the way. But this is something that God has done through someone that he wants to do again. He wants to keep replicating this same stuff. And there'll be different flavors to it, but this is an invitation. And I'd love you guys to receive it as such. And so as you hear Mitch share what God's been doing over the last few years, I pray that your hearts would be stirred and faith would rise within you, because the same stuff that has been happening in him can absolutely 100% happen in you. Because it's the same Jesus, the same one that we remember today that died for our sake, taking the price that should have been ours, the penalty that should have been ours, taking that upon himself so that we could then share in his life and receive the prize that he, by all rights, gets. It's ridiculous. I'm going to pray as Mitch comes up. Father, thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you for my brother Mitch, thank you for this day where we remember Jesus and the sacrifice. And we know it is Friday, but Sunday's coming. We know the resurrection. We know that has happened. We know that Jesus rose victorious over death, conquering sin, conquering death, fulfilling the law, and setting us free. And I declare freedom in this place tonight. Freedom in the name of Jesus. And all the people said, amen. I recommend this one.
Hello.
Is there a stand? How's everyone doing? Who's excited to be at Easter camp? Who loves, oh no, I'm kidding. Who loves Pastor Shane and Pastor Christy? Yeah. I do too. I only just met Christy the other day, but she's so lovely. You guys are really blessed to have pastors like them. Oh. Who knows God's not dead?
Yeah.
Nah. Who knows God's not dead?
Yeah.
Nah. He's surely alive. He's surely alive and he's living on the inside. Jesus is living on the inside and he's roaring like a lion. He's roaring like a lion in my heart tonight. I can feel it already. I feel like God wants to do something this camp that you didn't expect. You thought you were coming on an Easter camp to just have some fun, and I know to worship Jesus, but God's going to set you ablaze. Jesus is going to set every single one of you ablaze for him. They're going to set you ablaze for his love, for his glory, for his kingdom, because he did it to me. And if he does it to one person, it means he can do it again. So who's excited to get set on fire for Jesus? Who's excited to get set on fire for Jesus and never go cold again? Who's excited to live for him, to die for him, to shine to the world, to show that Jesus is King? Who's excited to shine for Jesus? Ah, yeah. I'm really excited. I'm really excited to be here because Jesus changed my life. I like that light. I might just... Jesus changed my life. Holy Spirit, I honor you. I honor your presence. I honor your lordship. And I honor your friendship. God, I thank you that you would do a work tonight. God, I thank you that in the same way that you set my heart ablaze for Jesus, you would do it again. You would touch your children tonight. You would make the gospel alive in their hearts, Lord. I thank you that every word that I would speak would hit the heart, God. I pray that every single person in this auditorium would leave different tonight. That we would live burning for Jesus. That we wouldn't be able to sleep because your presence was so thick. That we wouldn't be able to sleep because your love was so real. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your help tonight. Struggling already. I thank you that you're real and that you're here. You're not a feeling. You're the Spirit that was promised by Jesus. So whether we feel you or not, Holy Spirit, you are here with us, and I thank you for that. I thank you that you will never leave us, nor forsake us. So I bless you, Holy Spirit. I bless you, Jesus, and I bless you, Father. Amen. All right, I'm going to read some scripture. Does anyone like the Bible? I love the Bible. You know, the Bible's the Word of God. It's God's Word. It's God's Word. It's not man's Word. It's a Word from God. I once heard this cool little quote or saying that said, if you're getting frustrated when you're praying to God and not hearing His voice, while your Bible is shut, it's like getting angry and frustrated at your friends for not sending you text messages while your phone is turned off. Did anyone get that? If you're praying to God and you're not hearing from Him while your Bible is shut, it's like getting angry at your friends for not sending you text messages while your phone's turned off. God has spoken. God has given us a book to reveal Him, a book to reveal who we are. A book to testify that Jesus came and he lived. A book that testifies that Jesus came and he died. A book that testifies that Jesus came and he resurrected. This book is very, very important for a Christian. And we have the greatest opportunity and invitation to learn it, to study it, to breathe it, to become it, so that the world might see what Jesus promised. It's the Word of God. As a young group, as a young youth group, I pray that you would get a hunger for the Word of God. All right, John 3:16. Who knows that scripture? That's a good scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I want to take you to another scripture in John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it abundantly. If Jesus died, if Jesus came, that we would have life, that we would have eternal life, if that's the reason that he died and the reason that he came into this world, I think it's a good invitation to ask what life really is. And it's good because the Bible tells you. John 17, verse 3. God's alive in me, man. I can feel it. This is eternal life. John 17, 3 says, this is eternal life. Incline these ears. This is eternal life. That you know God and the one whom he has sent. Jesus died on a cross so that we would have eternal life. Jesus came to give us life and life to excess, life and life abundantly. And that life is nothing except for knowing God. God is the substance of our existence. God is the reason that you breathe today. Knowing God is the biggest privilege I've ever been given. It's not a hassle to be a Christian. It's not a weight. It's not a struggle to be a Christian. It's only a struggle to be a Christian if you don't know what Christianity is all about. Christianity is about knowing God. That's it. When I got saved, I made a decision. I made a decision in my heart. And I asked myself this, Mitchell, why are you a Christian? And I had to come to my own answer, and I decided to settle it. I said, the only reason I am a Christian is to know God. Not to serve. Not to do miracles. Not to go to church. Because John 15 says, he who abides will bear much fruit. You are not a Christian to come to church. You're a Christian to know God. And church is a place that we gather in celebration of that relationship. The only reason we're a Christian is to have a real, tangible, experiential relationship with God. You don't read the Bible because you have to read the Bible. We get to read the Bible to know God. You don't pray because you have to pray as a Christian. You pray to know God. It's a form of engaging with God. Prayer is not a duty. Prayer is a gift. Prayer is something we've been given as a human race in a way that we can communicate with Him. And the reason I'm so passionate about this is because in one point in my life, I didn't know God. I didn't know what it was like to know Jesus. I didn't know what it was like to be accepted, to be loved. I didn't know what it was like to have freedom. I grew up in a Christian family my whole life. And I went to church and I did the things, I did the motions, I was there. But I didn't know Him. I didn't know God. Till I was 13 years old, I was just doing the motions. I'm pretty sure I raised my hand a few times and tried to pray and got busy going to youth and doing all these fun things. I went to youth camps and I was the biggest rat bag on the youth camps. Shane might have kicked me off this one. And I remember going through high school and I would look to all my peers to try to find out who I am. I would look to my parents, to my friends, to try to find out who this guy Mitchell Ramsey is. Am I only as good as my ability to play football? Am I only as good as the girlfriend I can get? Am I only as good as the grades that I could get at school? I was trying to find out who I was. And then unintentionally, people started to point the finger and said, "You're a pastor's kid. You should act different. You should do this and you should do that." So I rebelled in my heart and I said, "I'm not going to listen to what you have to say about me. I'm going to find out who I am for myself." And so I rejected the idea of God. And I ran into the world. I thought the world had stuff for me. I thought it had peace. I thought it had joy. It didn't have joy. The kingdom of God is peace, righteousness, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The world doesn't have joy. They have temporary stuff that I thought would satisfy me. So I went into the world. I got girlfriends. I had all the friends I needed. I slipped into taking drugs when I never wanted to do that because I was looking at the world. And I remember when I was 12 years old, I said I'd never smoke cigarettes. By the age of 14, 15, I was smoking cigarettes. I remember I said I'd never take drugs. By the age of 15, 16, I was taking drugs because I was listening to what the world said was cool instead of the people who had best intention for me. My conscience that was clean and sharp as a young person got seared by life because I listened to what the world and what TV and what the internet said was cool. And I gave myself to death and destruction. I got addicted to drugs at a young age. I got addicted to people's opinions. And so my whole identity started to form around what everyone thought was cool. And so I would try to be the coolest guy. And then I started doing it at the expense of people. I started to rip people off. I started to fight a lot. The world is enticing. To live like them is tempting. But its end is death. And I had to experience that for myself, unfortunately. I didn't have a God reality in my life. I was a part of Christianity, but I didn't experience it for myself. So I went, I ended up stealing cars, I ended up hurting people, I ended up selling drugs. And I am not condoning any of that because its end was death. People don't tell you their testimony because we want to celebrate what we came from. I hated where I came from. I want to celebrate Jesus. I want to celebrate the newness of life that God gave me. I want to celebrate having peace every single day because I believe what He says about me. There's people in this room who have grown up in Christian families your whole life, and the devil is saying to you, you need to get out of the church to experience the world, and it's a lie. You do not need to get out of the church. You do not need to stop following Jesus to experience real life. Life is in Jesus. Amen. Life is in God. I came from the world. I came for what it was to be broken, to wake up and hate yourself, to wake up and have to have drugs to be okay. That's not cool. The world makes it look cool, but it's not cool. I hated myself. I hated people. And I never intended to start that way. I didn't mean to end up where I was, but it was the slippery slope of sin. I was 19 years old. And I was in a car on a way to a party. I'd taken some drugs, so I was a bit out of my mind. And my friend was driving me to this party, and I started to talk to him. I can't remember what about. And I remember the Holy Spirit came on me in the car. I believe some of you are going to feel it right now. What it is for true love to touch your heart. What it is for unconditional love to touch your heart. I was on drugs. I was in a mess. And Jesus met me where I was. And He spoke to me. I felt this love fill my body. And God spoke to me, not in my ears, but in that inner dialogue where you can sometimes talk to yourself. I felt this voice say to me, I love you. And I don't need you to change to love you. I just love you. Let me love you. It was the unconditional love of God that spoke to me. Because Christianity is not about managing your behavior. Christianity is not about not sinning. It's about knowing God. It's about being planted in the soil of life and bearing amazing fruit because you have relationship. He didn't pay to get you to heaven one day. He paid to redeem sons and daughters to know their Father in heaven. He paid to have relationship with you. It's the only place where life is. Religion will try to manage your behavior. God just wants pure relationship with you. And He'll supply anything that you need. If He asks you to live holy, He'll give you His holiness. And I met God in that car that day. The love of God filled my body. And I just started rambling to my friend. It was like I was speaking in tongues, but I started saying all these things. Man, I don't need to stop taking drugs to be a Christian. I don't need to stop going to church to be a Christian. And I just started saying whatever was on my heart. And what it was the love of God washing my heart, pushing out all this stuff, this built up stuff I had, this religion that I'd built up to think that Christianity was about fulfilling a set of rules. And it's not. If you think that, it's a lie. It's not. It's about relationship. It's about not what you can do, but what He did. None of us could fulfill the law. None of you could do all the commandments. We were lost and we were broken. We came into a sinful humanity. Jesus saw that and He had mercy on us and He stepped down into our sin. And He saw something more than we saw. He saw our value. He saw our worth. He saw every one of you. He predestined you in His heart. And then He breathed life into you so you could have existence. God did not die to make you valuable. He died because you are valuable. He didn't die to expose that you were sinners. He died to remove your sin and expose your value. Who would pray? Who would pay a high price for something that was worth nothing? Who would pay $50,000 for a Bond singlet? Your value is proven not in what you've been through, not in what the world has declared about you, not in what your parents have done to you, not in what the world or life has done to you. Your value was proven that Jesus put a price tag on you and it said, it's my life. It's worth me dying that you would live. The price tag Jesus put on every life in this room is Him. He thought it was reasonable that He would die in order for you to live again. That's where your value is proven. So So I started to sit with God in my bedroom. I was still on drugs and I was still doing all this stuff. I was doing all these things that I thought were going to make me happy, and it didn't make me happy. When I started to sit with God, I started to experience love, and the Holy Spirit would actually talk to me. I actually had real communion and relationship with God. And He would tell me to do one thing, and it would just be this subtle whisper, and I'd just go do it, and I'd laugh with God. And it happened for 2 months. I had this real, real relationship with God where I'd hear these whispers, and God would just be teaching me, and He'd say to me, I'm a world changer. He'd say to me that I'm loved. He'd say to me that I'm accepted. Because the only reason that we act a certain way is because we don't know who we are. So what Jesus saw was that the things I was doing, the drugs I was smoking, the things I was doing was just a fruit of the problem. So what He decided to do was deal with the root. He started to teach me who I was. He started to love me. He started to affirm me of my life, affirm me. So I'd sit with God and I'd open up the Bible and I'd read it because I was passionate. I don't remember anything I read. I remember like reading again. I mean, man, I've never read this, but it's just passion, you know, just getting into it. And I had this experience with God. Man, I didn't grow up with the knowledge of healing or miracles or the supernatural. I grew up in a church my whole life and I never experienced it. But when I experienced God in my car, when I had this real encounter with God in my car, there was something in my heart that said, I believe all things are possible. I will not live by just this natural world anymore. If God can do this, what He's doing to my life, I'm going to believe everything I read in this book. Who, when they were a child, heard of Moses splitting a sea? Who, when they were a child, heard of bread breaking and multiplying and feeding thousands? As a child, we hear about these supernatural miracles. We get brought into Christianity that way, thinking that Jonah could actually be swallowed by a whale and live. We hear the stories about David slaying Goliath. We hear about these supernatural things that happen in the Old Testament and even in Jesus' life. But then we grow up a little bit and we listen to the Word more than what the Bible says. And we lose our taste for the miraculous. And we think Christianity is just about coming to church. Everything about Christianity is supernatural. Everything about Christianity is miraculous. The fact that you can be forgiven of your sins and walk free for the rest of your life is a miracle. And so I started to believe these things. I started to get in my Bible and I would go to chapters like Mark 16, verse 18. And Jesus commissioned His disciples and He said, believers, you will lay your hands on the sick and they will recover. You'll cleanse lepers. You'll raise the dead. You'll speak in new tongues. You'll pick up serpents. He started speaking these things and they were coming alive in my heart. So I started to get passionate. Man, healing the sick is real. And so a person who was still broken, who was still learning about the love of God, who was still in sin, started to actually believe the supernatural because He was calling me a son. Because He saw more than I saw. He saw my identity apart from my works. And He held to that. And as I started to believe it, my junk fell off my life. My addiction to drugs just fell away without me even trying. My addiction to cigarettes just fell away. I all of a sudden just stopped swearing because I only wanted to speak life again. And this weekend when I'm speaking, all I'm going to do is I'm going to assure you of who you really are. And I'm going to find it in the Bible and I'm going to preach it with conviction. Because everything in that book is true and it's true about you. So I started to get really zealous and we started to hear about all these amazing testimonies. I was only like a couple months, maybe 6 to 8 months into my Christianity ever. And my grandpa was there and he had this really sore knee. And I was like, oh man, I got to pray for that. You know, Jesus laid the hand on the sick, and so I went and put my hand on his knee. Papa, can I pray for this knee? And I prayed and nothing happened. I said, you know what? That's all right. If this book says this, that's true, that means my experience has got to change. So 3 days later, I went and found my grandpa again. Can I please pray again? Can I please pray again? He's at this cafe, and I said, and I got down on my knees and I said, God, I thank you for healing this knee. Amen. And he went, yeah, it's good. And there was no like big reaction. I was like, ah, please. Like, you're just being a kind grandpa. He's like, no. And then he just starts walking around, completely healed. Completely healed. That's miraculous. He was hurt, and I believed, and God used me, and he was healed. And so I started to get stirred up, and I started to surround myself with people who had crazy minds like me. Could this stuff be real? We started hearing about testimonies of people in Mexico who were raising people from the dead. We started hearing about people in Africa who were opening deaf ears and blind eyes. And I remember one day me and my brother were standing on a beach and we were talking about this thing. Man, I want to believe this thing. Like, if we can pray for a sore back, that means we can pray for a man who has no leg. And as we're saying it, this lady walks by with no leg. Oh. So we looked at each other, and he was a good big brother. He's like, let's do it. I was like, oh, all right. And we like chased her down. Hey, we just noticed he didn't have a leg. She's like, I know that. We were so afraid, oh my gosh. But as soon as we started to engage, as soon as we started to talk, everything was just natural. She's like, we were like, hey, we're Christians, and we're believing that God actually today would give you a new leg. She's like, oh, it's okay, my plastic leg's in the car. No, we want him to give you a brand new leg. Can we pray for you? And she said, absolutely. So me and my brother, we prayed. God, we thank you for a brand new leg. Amen. Still no leg. And I didn't see that lady again. And I'm not sure if she got her new leg. But what God was teaching me was to break the boxes that experience and religion might have put around me. We're meant to look different. We're not meant to be the same as the world around us. We're meant to have an answer. We're meant to have light inside of us so the dark can see again. And I started to believe this thing. And I started to go after it. I started to surround myself with people. And I had this friend who they prayed for, a man, a Muslim man in West End, in a city, in a suburb where I was from. And he had a broken back. And they prayed and he was instantly healed. So I started surrounding myself with the reality of God. Ever since I've been a Christian, I've been experiencing God proving his reality because I believed it. And so this thing wasn't just about me going to church and serving. This thing started to become about me living it out day in, day out. This thing started, I would pray and I would worship God and I would love him because he set me free of my stuff. And he was teaching me who I was. And I decided to be a doer of the word instead of a hearer. I decided to put this stuff into action. So I went to this school that would teach me about identity. They would teach me about the miraculous. Because the testimony I have is not about where I came from. The testimony I have is the life now I'm in the kingdom. It's the most fun I've ever had. I wouldn't swap it for anything. You could give me $1 million. You could give me rich and fame, and I would never swap it for Jesus. Jesus set me free. And because I'm believing it, he's setting hundreds of people free around my life. And it's not because I'm special. It's because I decided to believe the word of God for what it is. I decided to walk it out when no one else around me would walk it out. Then I found out there was people actually doing it, actually living it, actually believing that God could save nations. I remember in my first year of being a Christian, just after 1 year of being a Christian, I went on this mission trip. And we were zealous. We were excited about God. We were excited to tell people about this Jesus that changed my life. This Jesus that I had a real relationship with. This Jesus that taught me the truth. This Jesus that started to give me freedom. This Jesus that gave me peace. This Jesus that broke my addiction. This Jesus that severed the ties to my old life. I found out Jesus made me a new creation. And everything I did before had no way of defining me in my future. He destroyed my old life and He gave me a brand new one. So Christianity is not about getting rid of the old life or getting rid of old junk. It's about discovering the new man now you're in Christ. It's about discovering who we are as children of God. So we went on this mission trip to Indonesia. And it was with the guy that I'd heard about when I was just getting born again. It was the guy who was raising people from the dead. His ministry in South America has seen over 500 people raised from the dead. That's dead people coming to life. So I got the privilege of going on this mission trip with this man. And our goal was to preach the gospel and get people born again so that they can have the same relationship that I have with their God, with Him. Not their God, my God, Jesus. And so we went there and we were doing church meetings. We were gathering around when we were meant to do crusades, but it all fell through. So we ended up just gathering in a church again and teaching the Indonesian people, praying for them, stirring them up. And I remember me and my four buddies, the Holy Spirit spoke to us and He said, I want you to get outside the church. I want you to ask your leaders if you can start doing some evangelism or preaching the gospel on the streets. So we respectfully went to our team leaders and we said, hey, I really feel that we need to go out onto the street, find a marketplace, and we just want to start praying for people and telling people about Jesus. So they were all about it. They're not frightened of stuff like that. They were releasing. They said, absolutely, go for it. So we went into this marketplace and there was people selling fish and people selling all sorts of groceries, and it was this real, like, raw place. And there was a little bit of a ledge and there was lots of people around, and so we got a guitar. And we walked up onto this ledge and we started playing a guitar and started dancing around and having fun. And people started to get attracted, like, oh my gosh, look at these guys. Crazy hair like this flying around. So they started to gather. And we were like, oh, this is good. We're dancing, singing. And about 100 people gathered around. And so we put down the instruments. We had a translator there with us. And we said, all right, can you ask them if anyone here has pain or sickness in their body? Because this gospel isn't meant to be just intellectually discussed. It's to be powerfully demonstrated, then intellectually explained. Because God is not a God that's not intellectual, but He's a God of power. He's a God of living this thing out. He's a God of reality. So we said, can you ask anyone, if any of them have any sickness in their body, any pain in their body? And the interpreter asked, and we were looking around, and one man came with a sore elbow. So can we pray for him? We prayed for him, and he checked it out, and he was healed. Yes, he was healed. And so then it just popped. Everyone wanted prayer. There was bad backs, blind eyes, sore necks, tumors, everything. Everyone just started lining up, started going crazy. And so we, five of us, started just praying for people. God, I thank you for healing in Jesus' name. Interpreters were there, and we started to see deaf ears open. We started to see blind eyes open. Stuff I was reading in the Bible because I believed started being in my life. We saw men who had tumors. We put our hand on it and the tumors would disappear. This stuff was the same stuff I was reading in the Bible, and it was happening in my day, in my life. Not because my training qualified me, not because my name badge qualified me, because Jesus qualified me. It's not because I have an anointing or a gift, it's because I decided to believe the Word of God. Jesus qualifies us. Jesus qualifies you. So we started doing it. For 2.5 hours, we prayed for these people, healing after healing. There were so many people, we ended up deciding, all right, let's line up 6 of them. God, I thank you for healing all of them in Jesus' name. And 4 of them would be healed instantly. Just stuff, man. Miracles were just popping. Man, that was so exciting. There ended up being like 200 people around. People coming off their bike helmets, off the road, coming to just check it out. Like, what's all the crowd about, you know? We looked at each other, man, we need to preach. We need to tell them about Jesus. So we hopped up on this ledge and we had our translator with us. We started said, excuse me, everyone. We got all their attention. And we just started preaching Jesus. We started preaching the gospel. The reason that you are healed is because Jesus died and he raised so that you could have a new life. When life says you're sick, God says you can be healed. When life says you're down, God says he can bring you back up. Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is a new reality for everyone who will believe it. So we started preaching the kingdom. We said, who wants to receive this Jesus? About 90 people put up their hand. 90 people in 2.5 hours gave their life to Jesus. We started praying for them all, that they would be filled with the Holy Spirit. We started talking to them all, inviting them to our night meetings. And it was this ridiculous. We got on the bus and we're like, are you joking? This stuff is happening in our life. God spoke to us and we obeyed, and then that happened. We did it for 3 days in a row. The exact same thing. We went there, we demonstrated, we showed, and then we told. A show and tell gospel. A tell and show gospel. For 3 days we did it. We saw 360 people get born again. Blind eyes were opening. Deaf ears were opening. Not because I'm amazing, but because the God that's inside of me is amazing. And now we're one. I'm God's family. I'm God's son. And I get to be a city set on a hill, shining bright for Jesus. And what he's doing is he's inviting sons and daughters of God to believe that. He's inviting every single one of you in this pew to recognize that Christianity is not about just going to church. It's about being the church. It's about being the light in a dark place. It's not about just following Shane and Christy's dreams and visions. It's about coming to them with your dreams and visions, letting them empower you, because God wants to use you. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. They've laid down their lives to see a young generation get empowered to live this thing out. They can't get into your schools, but you can go to your schools. They can't get into your houses, but you're already there. If you can believe that it's not just about you, but it's about the God that's inside of you, things will shift around your life. I started to believe it. A year ago, I was sin, dead, broken in my sin, addicted to drugs, and I had no future, no purpose. I was unhealthy. I was hurting myself. I was living a life of brokenness. And I met a God who cares, a God of comfort who came and comforted me. And he gave me peace so I could become peace to the world. He gave me love so I could show love to the world. This thing's for real. This is not a game to me. I've laid down my life for Jesus. And I believe that he's calling you guys out tonight. He's calling out individuals tonight to say, I'm all in. Because I will not wait to the end of camp to say this to you. I will not wait to the end of camp to invite you to follow this thing. Because we're at camp tonight. It can happen tonight. And we get to rest, spend the rest of the last 3 days celebrating and teaching and discovering the richness of life that's in God. Because it's eternally deep, but very simple. I will not give my life to just preach the gospel on a microphone. I'll give my life up to just love Jesus. And it comes naturally. If you humble yourself, if you just follow God, He'll sort everything out. He'll just make it happen. He'll make your dreams come true.